Blessed of the Lord tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 in your Bibles, if you find your place there. I do have a prayer request and a praise. Pray for Kevin Hooser's mom, Shelvia Goff. She's back in the hospital with COPD breathing issues and very serious condition. Pray for her. Didn't Buddy Tackett, didn't you and Mike's dad have some surgery? Or getting ready to come up with some? Tomorrow morning. So pray for Buddy Tackett if you would. And then a praise. I did some calculating based on what we've done this month since the missions revival, and we're up about $50,000 in 1 month and give for this year. All right, that was how much it'll wind up being. That we'll have about a $50,000 increase this year in our giving toward missions. And I want to say thank you for giving to the Lord. If that holds throughout the year, you know, we got about $225,000 in promises, and I think that's the largest amount we've ever gotten in the since I've been here in 10 years and on cards. And normally we've been giving between $225,000 and $250,000 a year to world evangelism. And if what the giving has been over the last 4 weeks holds true, then we should exceed somewhere around $300,000 this year. And so to God be the glory. Amen? That's a blessing. And so encouraged by that. I trust you found your place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As you turn there, a man and his wife are on a strict diet. How many of you like that at Thanksgiving time? Sat down at the table for a meatless Thanksgiving meal. All steamed and all green. Husband looked at what was before him, and he looked at his wife, and he said, "Honey, you say the blessing." He said, "If I thank the Lord for this, He'll know I'm lying." Oh, my. Signs you ate too much for Thanksgiving. You know you ate too much for Thanksgiving if the paramedics bring in the Jaws of Life bill to pry you out of the Easy Boy. Isn't that right? Amen. All right. You know you've had too much for Thanksgiving if the potatoes you use for mashed potatoes set off another famine in Ireland. You know you ate too much for Thanksgiving if you receive a sumo wrestler application in your email inbox. Oh my. You know you've ate too much for Thanksgiving if when they prick your finger for a cholesterol screening, it only yields gravy. One more. You know you ate too much for Thanksgiving when the representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame call twice. So anyway, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in your Bibles tonight, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There was an African proverb that even the hen lifteth her head toward heaven when swallowing the grain that she's eaten. Said so many in our land who experience the multiplied blessings of God never lift their head in thanks to the God who gave them to them. And I recognize that every one of us tonight, whether a person recognizes it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, every one of us, we live from hand to mouth. We live from His hand to our mouth. We live in the sense that God blesses us and gives us breath and life and strength. And the Bible says that God desires for you and I to be thankful. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Simply put, God wants me, God wants you to be thankful unto Him. And we have so much to thank Him for tonight. Just the cardboard testimonies. Many times as I'm moving in and out among our congregation, you begin to share with me the blessings of the Lord and the thankfulness of your heart. I'm afraid one of the characteristics, though, of our day is an unthankfulness. It reminds me of the when in Luke 17 when the Lord healed the 10 lepers and only one returned to give Him thanks. And He asked the question, where are the 9? I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want to be in the company of the 9. Do you? I don't want part of that company that fails to thank God and that fails to bless God's holy name and to praise Him for His many manifold blessings in my own spiritual life. I want to be in the company of the one who was continually thanking God. I believe the idea, the Bible said that when He saw that He was healed, He turned and He lifted up His voice and He wept and I believe He fell before the Lord and He thanked Him and He was the most unlikeliest of all. And you say, preacher, why is that? Because that one leper was a Samaritan. He wasn't even one of the covenant people of Israel. He was an outcast, but yet he returned to give God thanks. And you know, too often we're like that other nun, and we stifle our songs and we withhold our praise and we fail to give Him thanks. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." In the Scriptures it says, "Why should a living man complain?" When you and I are alive and we can live and move and breathe, why should we complain? God has been good that we're alive and we have opportunity to praise Him. And I'll give you several things we can praise Him for tonight. What about His grace? You know the words gratitude and grace come from the same root word and they go together. And surely the person who has experienced the grace of God has the most reason to be grateful to God. 2 Peter 1:9 speaks of those who are blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And you know, there's times that the further we get away from our conversion experience, the longer times pass, sometimes we can fail to be as grateful and fail to allow that to impress upon us the blessing and the goodness of God. Hey, I could still be in my sins tonight. I can no telling where I would be, no telling what my life would be like, no telling if I would even have a family tonight. No telling what in the world would be going on in my life. I could be way out in sin somewhere with my life in ruins. But listen, no. God, in His mercy and His grace, reached down farther than I could reach up. And listen, we need to praise Him tonight. Amen? And listen, something we should never lose sight of is how that Jesus, the blessed Lamb of God, took my sin and your sin upon Himself and paid the debt of our sin with His own blood. He saved us by His grace. Listen, can I tell you tonight, if you've experienced this so great salvation and you have the assurance that your sins have been forgiven, listen, I'm glad tonight that we can enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And if you've never entered that gate tonight, if you've never trusted Christ, I'm glad tonight you can truly enter the gates of thanksgiving by first coming through the gate marked salvation. And listen, can I tell you, when He forgives your sin and saves your soul, I guarantee you, friend, it'll change and He'll give you an attitude of gratitude in your heart. Amen? And so tonight we ought to thank Him for His grace in saving us. But what about His grace in sustaining us? Right. You know what? Even since I've been saved, if it was left up to me, I'd probably still mess my life up, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you maybe? Aren't you glad that God keeps us from ourselves? If we had it our way all the time, somewhere down the line, we would probably destroy our own lives. And aren't you glad that God intervenes and God superintends and God sustains us and keeps us and directs us and helps us? And you know what? He not only keeps us from sin, but aren't you glad He keeps us from ourselves at times? What about His grace tonight? Let me tell you something else that we can thank Him for. What about His goodness? Would you look with me in Psalm 107? Would you turn there real quickly? I'm just going to give you a few short thoughts tonight that maybe you tuck away, and as you gather with your family, or maybe you have personal family devotions, or family devotions, you can sit and talk about the grace of God. Maybe you can talk about the goodness of God. Look at Psalm 107, verse number 1. Notice the Bible said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Can I tell you, God's goodness never changes. "For His mercy endureth forever." Look down, if you would, please, in verse number 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Do you realize that God is always good? Psalm 103, verse 2 said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." That word benefits literally means kindnesses. You know, we sang that song tonight, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One." And you know, the reality of it is tonight, if we were to really begin to tally up everything that God's done for us, we'd have to weigh them ton by ton, wouldn't we? Psalmist said, "He gives us all things richly to enjoy." Proverbs 10:22, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich." Do you know tonight you're rich? You say, "Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I don't have a whole lot." Can I tell you, dear friend, that what you have in Jesus Christ, you can't put a price tag on it. You can't. Can't put a price tag on it. What you have in the Lord tonight, MasterCard can't pay for. It's priceless. Think about His blessings tonight. What about your family? Boy, can't we thank Him for our family tonight? Food. You know what? Much of the world will go hungry tonight. our finances, how that God meets our needs. Why, even the poorest of America is rich by the rest of the world standards. What about His compassion? They fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faith. You know what? I'm glad that every day I can go to the fountain that never runs dry and draw forth a fresh dose of God's goodness and God's grace and God's compassions and God's mercies in my life that gives me the strength to go on. What about His care and His comfort? What about your health tonight? You know, it's fairly easy to thank the Lord when things are going good, but what about when things are not going so good? I'm reminded of an elderly lady in a nursing home that had received a diagnosis that her illness was terminal, only had a short time to live. So the nurses got to noticing her feverishly running her fingers over a piece of knotted yarn. They asked her about it, and she said, when I was a little girl, my grandmother taught me to get a piece of string, and each time God smiled on me and something good happened in my life, I'd tie a knot in that string. Then when the days became dark and lonely and the times of despair became very real, she said, my grandma taught me you get out your string and remember all the good times and the good things to thank Him for. Not only should we thank Him for His blessings, but what about our burdens? Do you know that good things come out of difficult times? We must be reminded of the promise of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. Doesn't mean that everything that happens in my life is good. Doesn't mean that everything that comes into my life is good. We know that life yields bitter and sweet, good and bad, the ups and downs. But God said that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And friend, can I tell you that there's a God at work in our lives that blends together the good, the bad, the bitter, the sweet, the up or down, who says, I'm taking it all and I'm making something beautiful and wonderful out of your life. And God said, listen, what I'm doing is good in your life. He didn't say that what's going on is good, but the outcome of what God's doing in our lives is good. He's going to work it for our good. Matthew Henry was accosted by thieves and robbed, the great 18th century writer and Bible scholar. And he wrote these words in his journal. He said, I'm so very thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because all day they took my purse, they did not take my life. And thirdly, he said, I'm so very thankful because although they took everything I had, it wasn't very much. And then fourthly, I'm so very thankful that it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Wow. You know, today God has freely given you the gift of 84,600 seconds. Why not just take one of them and say, thank you? I'm glad I live in a nation that has Thanksgiving, aren't you? It's a national proclamated holiday. Much of the rest of the world followed suit. If they have a Thanksgiving, it's because we had it first and they sort of follow suit on that. You see, I believe that our forefathers understood that anything that good happened to us came from the good hand of our God. And tonight we need to thank Him for His grace and we need to thank Him for His goodness. Amen? And not just on Thanksgiving, not just one time of year, but let's let the attitude of gratitude permeate our hearts and lives. And then number three and lastly tonight, why don't we thank Him? You know, it's God's will we thank Him for His grace. It's God's will we thank Him for His goodness. The Bible said, in everything give thanks. But it's also God's will that I think we can thank Him for His greatness. Aren't you glad that we have a great God tonight? Exodus 15:11, who is likened to Thee, O Lord? Who is likened to Thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders. There is nothing or no one likened to our God. God says in Isaiah, to whom will you liken me, or who is my equal? Our God is in a class all by Himself. There's no one and nothing likened to our God. You know, the Levites, I thought about the ancient Levites. When they came out of Egypt and they went into the land of promise to settle the land, God had tribal allotments for the 12 tribes of Israel. And He said, I want Judah to be here and Simeon, you're over there. And I want you to know, Naphtali, you're up there. And Gad and Asher and Benjamin and Ephraim and Manasseh and all the different tribes. But He said to the Levites, He said, listen, He said, you don't have an inheritance. They were the priestly tribe. He said, because the Lord your God is your inheritance. He said, I'm giving you something better than a tribal allotment. He said, I'm giving you me. You know what, folks? I bear the name Broyhill. Okay? I bear that name, Broyhill. Now, I know that maybe the deacons thought 10 years ago if we could get a Broyhill in here, they'd have enough money to pay the church off. They just didn't realize I'm for the other side of the tracks. But I live in the town of the Broyhill Mansion. I visited it one time. Well, actually twice. As a plumber in Bible college. And I worked on Miss Sadie Broyhill's pool. And I went in her and I fixed a sprinkler in her yard. And I went into her bathroom and fixed her tub from leaking. So she said, come, Miss Sadie came to me. She's gone now, but she came up to me, Miss Sadie Broyhill, and she said to me, she said, so you're a Broyhill? And I said, yes. She said, how are you related? So I began to rehearse how I was related, and I said, I just want you to know that my family's name, when we got the book, was left out, but I can show you how we fit in. And so I explained to her how we fit in, and our names wasn't in the book. I still know if my name's in that family book, okay? My wife's saying, uh-uh, it's not. But anyway, she said, well, I have something for you. I thought, man, she's going to give me a check because I'm family. She gave me a biography of Mr. Broyhill, J.E., that started Broyhill Furniture Industries. But I went away, and I thought to myself, Lord, my name may not be in their book, but it's in your book. And what if I had all that they had, all the riches and all the wealth and the mansions, but I didn't have him? And the Bible said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How do you put a price tag on a saved soul and a forgiven, paid in full sin debt and a life that's been changed and a future that's going to last forever? You see, I would rather have the riches that I have in Christ than the riches that I could have had bearing the Broyhill name. I'd rather have what I've got than what they've got. Now, if they gave me a little bit of it, I wouldn't be upset. But I still would rather have what I have. Can I just tell you, the riches of God's grace is greater than the riches of Bill Gates.
Amen. That's right.
And you're not poor in this world.
Amen.
You remember, you're a pilgrim. You're a stranger. You're just a passing through because we have a country
Amen.
On the other side. And can I tell you, I've got a mansion. And you know what? It's made of gold, walls of jasper, streets of gold, and you know, how do you put a price tag on all of that? Gates of pearl. And you know what? It's mine.
Amen.
It's mine.
That's right.
And if you're saved tonight, it's yours. Isn't that good? Hey, we're rich tonight. We've got so much to thank Him for. Psalm 148, verse 13 said this, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Isn't that good tonight? Isn't God so good? Let's just praise Him tonight. As we stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and